You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Okay, are we rolling, Danny? Okay. Does everyone have a handout here for today? You should have received this inside the bulletin. For those visiting, you probably catch my humor eventually after a couple of weeks or months. The evil twins, Revelation chapter 13. If you need one of these, raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get it. Everyone's good. Let's pray before we get started. Lord God Almighty, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Without your understanding, without you giving us understanding, we'll never understand your word. We draw close to you. Lord, we ask you now that you would give us the understanding of the text that we're looking at. Help us understand, too, the text, if there's any misconceptions on who to vote for on Tuesday. Speak to us through your word. Reassure us and open our eyes to who is on your side and who is against you and who the true ruler of this world is. Minister to us, lead us, and guide us now. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Okay, we're in this series, Famous Chapters of the Bible. And today's is Revelation chapter 13. Now, I've entitled this The Evil Twins. That is the main characters that make up this satanic trinity. Now, the third character I'm calling here now the silent partner, and that's the devil himself. The headings in the New King James for chapter 13 are the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. Now remember what we've learned the last time around here in this book, that the seven heads and ten horns means that the silent partner is the world ruler behind the scenes. That's all you need to understand when you read this difficult text. Oh, I see someone with seven heads and ten horns. All you need to know and remember is that the devil is the world ruler here. The Lord Jesus four times calls him that. John 12:31, John 14:30, John 16:11, and the Apostle Paul, I don't have it up there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, where he calls him the God of this world. But that's all we need to remember from this cryptic reference here. We saw that first time in chapter 12, verse 3, where the Bible says, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems or seven crowns on his head. So when you look at our government and the world governments, no one understands who the silent partner is. Who's pulling the strings? Again, I've given you the verses here three times in the Gospel of John. The Lord Jesus calls the devil the world ruler. So as we move forward, that's all you need to know. The devil is the one in charge of many governments. Now, look around this country. Through the lens of that spiritual truth, look around this country. Look at what happens. Look at what happens when that power and authority, look at what happens when that power and that authority gets threatened by an outsider. I'm not going to tell you who to vote. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the spiritual truth that Jesus says Satan is the power behind the world governments. So just remember that truth as I ask that question. Look at what happens when that power and authority gets threatened by an outsider. And think about it. Knowing what you know now, look at the evil that the government, the most world governments, are legislating. Let me throw a couple out there. God banned from society. Prayer in school banned. You see, when you look at this through the lens of what the Bible's just told you, that Satan is the ruler of this world, and when you read seven heads and ten horns in the Bible's telling you that when you look and peel back the layers on this onion, or like the Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. When you open up the curtain, it's this devil is the one that's in charge. And this is how you can tell. I throw these questions out here and ask you, who's in charge of these things? God banned from society. Is that, in your opinion, is that God's idea to ban himself from society? Then whoever's doing it, they're identified for who they are. Number two, prayer in school ban. Is that God's idea or somebody else's? References to Jesus banned. Is that God's idea or somebody else's? Especially in school and in retail businesses, and in AI, even my own poor iPhone. My iPhone doesn't know how to spell Holy Spirit. Try it sometime. I mean, my iPhone can spell anti-disestablishmentarianism, but it can't spell Holy Spirit. I'm suspicious of that. I put praise G-A-D because I've misspelled and my phone doesn't know how to correct me. Praise God, you can't correct me. I'm suspicious of that. You know everything else, but you don't know that, you see. But when I look at it through the lens of, now my understanding is open here. The devil is the ruler of this world. And he's the power and force behind the governments and the world. And this is your go-to place to discover whether or not God and his peeps are in charge or the devil and his peeps are in charge. God banned from society. Prayer in school banned. References to Jesus banned. The Bible banned. I read of a full bird colonel that got, was he court-martialed? He had a Bible on his desk. And he was a chaplain. The evil sin of homosexuality loved and embraced. Is that God's plan or somebody else's? See, when you're uncertain, look at what someone is doing, and then you'll understand who the real leader and ruler is behind the scenes. That's five. How about this one, number six? The slaughter of the innocents who have no voice in this world. The murder and the slaughter of unborn children in this world. We're not going to sweep that under the carpet. Now I put it to you. Who is in charge for the murder of unborns in this world? Is that coming from God or from somewhere else? So that's what the seven heads and ten horns refer to. That's all we need to know. At the current time, Satan is the ruler of this world, and he is the power behind the governments in the world. Now let's get started here. We're going to look at this entire chapter 13 here in the book of Revelation in this series here, Famous Chapters of the Bible. The evil twins, or we could call them the wicked cousins. John speaking, chapter 13, verse 1. All these verses are on the handout as well, if you don't have a Bible. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. John speaking. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. So catch the connection. Satan owns the Antichrist and the world leader here. I just read that in chapter 12. Now you got the same description for the devil and the Antichrist. So understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. All you need to know is that Satan is the one that's in charge here. Verse 2, now the beast that I saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. All right, we've looked at it before. Who is the dragon in the Bible? Right. Revelation chapter 12, that serpent of old called the devil, a dragon. We don't even have to guess who that is. So he gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now this man, this first beast here in chapter 13, has gone down in history known as the end times Antichrist. We read in 1 John 2:18, he says, little children, it's the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. The Apostle Paul calls this man the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. As for the animal references, that's been argued about for thousands of years, and I can't settle the argument. All you need to know is what's revealed at the end of verse 2. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Again, the devil is the power behind the world's governments. Now, there might be seasons where he loses his influence, but the same as the Lord Jesus. Remember what it said? It said the devil departed until a more opportune time. You might go through seasons where righteous people unexpectedly maybe sneak in and get elected, and then times of refreshing come from the Lord where righteousness rules. Verse 3. Now I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. All right, so my understanding is something's going to happen to this man, and he's going to appear to die. And then in a great act of deception, he's going to be healed, or he's going to appear to come back to life. We see a lot of this here in chapter 13, of Satan having the ability to give life to something or someone. More on that as we get to the second evil twin, a.k.a. the false prophet. Okay, verse 4. So they worshiped the dragon who gave the authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? All right, so they unwittingly worship the silent partner, the one that they can't see. And they worship the Antichrist knowingly. Remember, this is the penalty for refusing the love of God. This is the penalty for refusing the love of God at the end of the age. You will believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Refusing the love of God at the end of the age, and you'll believe the lie. Verse 5. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. All right, so Antichrist rules for 3.5 years. Same length of time as the two witnesses in chapter 11. I believe they're both going to be around at the same time. Maybe right down the street from each other. The true prophets of God and the counterfeits. on the earth at the same time. Verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. All right, so he blasphemes the name of God. He blasphemes against God's house. And apparently, he has some sort of problem with people that live and dwell in heaven. Now, that's a strange one, isn't it? And can't you see him shaking an angry fist and complaining, darn all you people up in heaven? I mean, who does that? That statement is preposterous. I've never heard anyone do that. Shake an angry fist at people that are in heaven? Or did something happen on earth to cause him to blaspheme the people that are in heaven? I don't know why he would do this, but he's upset and he's angry at the people that reside up in heaven. Verse 7. Notice there's still believers on the earth at this time, regardless of what your study Bible might say. It was granted to him to make war with the saints. Now, a saint is not someone that you pray to when you lose your wallet. The saints are the people of God. All believers in Jesus Christ are saints, called to be saints. We just looked at that on Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, called to be saints. That's you and I. We are the saints. It was granted to the Antichrist to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Comma. Thank God for the comma. Thank God he doesn't stop there. I mean, he just says there's saints on the earth, and then the next verse he says everyone on the earth is going to worship him. But there's a comma there, so keep reading. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, comma, that is, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, wow. All unbelievers are going to worship the Antichrist. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote about this man of sin. He says he sits as God. He sits as God. Imagine this happening in your lifetime. He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, if you refuse the love of Jesus Christ today, I'm here to guarantee you today, you will believe that if you say no to Jesus Christ today. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. If you say no to Jesus, if you're upset that God loves you, you're in big trouble. See, this is why he says today. Why do we always end up here? How many years have we been doing this, Darren? 3, 4? We always find ourselves back here in this circle where he says, behold, today is the accepted day. Today is the day of salvation. And today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like the Jews did in the wilderness. He said, I was angry with that generation. But if you hear his voice today, the charge over humanity, I say it every week, is that God loves you. As many, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's done all the work. All you have to do is believe, admit, confess the word homologeo, agree with God that you're a sinner, that you can't make it on your own. He's throwing you a life preserver today. All you got to do is receive that. That's it. If you're angry or upset that God loves you, you'll never survive. You'll never make it. Not only will you not make it when this happens, but you might not make it when you hit the stop sign out here. What happens if you die today? He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And all that dwell on the earth will worship him, comma, all the people whose names are not recorded in God's book. Think about it. All the agnostics, all the atheists who declare that there is no God, even the atheists will worship him, because the Bible says everyone's going to worship him whose names aren't written in God's book of life. All the geniuses who declare that religion is a crutch for weak people, they're going to worship him too. They'll bow the knee to the Antichrist and they'll call him God, because he's going to sit as God. He's going to have his own church house. He's going to call himself God. And if you refuse the love of Jesus Christ, then you're going to call him God. That's why he's offering you the opportunity. He's extending mercy and grace to you today to ensure that this does not happen to you. All the stargazers who deny intelligent design will bow the knee and call the man Lord. For that matter, all the stargazers who accept intelligent design but refuse God's pardon for them will also worship at the feet of the Antichrist. I mean, many believe that there's a God, but they have not been redeemed. Have you come to the Savior to be redeemed? Rest, we read in the Bible, right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. There are plenty of people that believe in intelligent design, but they haven't come to the feet of Jesus Christ and said, I'm a sinner, I need help. I can't do this on my own. I need help. I need help. I need help. Yeah. How old is Caleb? 3. The Apostle Peter declared, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven amongst men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. That's good news. If you are alive at this time, you will worship. Now, King David wrote in Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, he says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish along the way. Kiss, embrace, that word means embrace the Son. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him today for who he is. Praise him today for what he's done in your life. Embrace the Son. That's it. That's the call to you today. Embrace the Son. Now, lastly in this first section is verse 9. And how apropos is this? It says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. If you don't have an ear, then you'll be like this person who inscribed this note in this Bible that was found here over the weekend in this church. Okay? If you don't have an ear, this is the kind of stuff that you write in Bibles and leave here at church. Warning, this book is a work of fiction. Do not take it literally. It contains murder, rape, abuse, and is scientifically incorrect. Now, if this is your Bible, I would say come and talk to me after the service if you've got the guts. I wonder who's going to take me up on that. Because the more people that come here and see, the more people that come into God's house, the more time you're going to see things like this written in Bibles, you see. Because not only can a politician or an outsider make things hot in the kitchen, also with a church that's doing it right, praise God, the same kind of things can happen. So, but anyway, this was a Gideon's Bible. Someone showed me this. Someone showed that to me yesterday. That's why Jesus said, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. And the message to you is still the same. The message to you, friend, is that God loves you. His Son died for your sins. And if you call on the name of Jesus Christ, as he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, as Moses lifted up that serpent on that stick, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish. And if you do that, friend, then you won't be writing stuff like that in here. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this kind of stuff shouldn't surprise you. It's par for the course. Not everyone has ears to hear this. All this and more, perhaps, in your own lifetime. All right, now let's move on to this second twin here. Again, I'm just being facetious here. These are not twins, for the record. But chapter 13 reveals to us that two men, will be the ones responsible for the events of the tribulation, at least from a worldly perspective, with the third being the silent partner, the devil himself. All right, here we go. Chapter 13, verse 11. Understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Revelation actually is easy to understand. And that is, God wins in the end. Satan loses. All who refuse the love of the truth will be cast into the lake of fire. God's people will march on to victory. Okay, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Speaks for itself, right? We read in Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Then he said, you will know them by their fruits. All right, so this man is some sort of counterfeit Christian. I'll throw it out there. Who are the references in the Bible to the Lamb? Right, it's Jesus, right? John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. The Lamb, when you see the Lamb in apocalyptic literature like this, the Lamb represents the Lamb of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. When you see two horns the rest of this verse here, I've just lost my place here.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.